opening the word for us this morning, continuing in this journey around the knowing what it is that we have a God who speaks. Bless you, Ben.
Well, after that big introduction, I don't really know what to say. But this morning we're going to do things a little bit differently. Because I haven't been here that long, I hope you give me a little bit of leniency as we try something a little bit different. Although it was about 20 years ago that I used to be at Mount Albert with Mick Duncan at that stage. So I know that you're used to things being a little bit different. So hopefully, I'm not quite as radical as Mick, so hopefully we'll get away with things. But today, I want to be looking at signs and symbols. You know, they're all around us, signs and symbols, and they're used to point us or direct us to something. They give us some information. So we're trying to hear from others how God talks to us, and some of the ways is through signs and symbols. Well, these are not quite those signs and symbols, but as you see up there, I'd like to extend my welcome. And that symbol is the symbol of the school that I taught in Alice Springs in the middle of Australia. It was an Aboriginal boarding school, and you can probably tell it's sort of a dot painting. I don't know exactly all the ins and outs of it, but it's about communicating, talking, and the learning that we did at Yarrara College. But that's not the only kinds of signs and symbols that we have. And there are a number that we might know of. Now, these sorts of signs and symbols we see all the time. Unfortunately, some of us don't always obey them very well, but we know what they mean. You know, we know that this is the way that we have to go, that this road is closed, and there's no U-turns in this particular part. Has anyone ever been to Melbourne? If you've ever been to Melbourne, I hate driving in Melbourne when they have those hook turns. And that just scares me. So you're driving on your hook turn. So you want to turn right, so you pull to the left, and then you go right. And if you've ever been to other parts of the world, you might come across road signs that are a little bit more confusing. But these are ones that most of us will know. There are other symbols that we have that some of us might know of as well. I don't need you. You are actually allowed to interact with me. Okay, I'm not here giving a lecture. So, does anyone know what those two are?
Sushi.
Sushi? No. The fish meal? Oh, no. But I think we know, you know, used to symbolize Christianity or believers, followers of Jesus. And then the heart, which often is for love. Now, this symbol here, I wasn't 100% sure. I checked with a couple of people. They knew what it was, and then it made a lot of sense. Does anyone know what that is? Symbol four?
Reading on a toilet.
Reading on a toilet? Actually, that's quite funny. Yeah, no. It's a symbol for a library. And I thought, oh, yeah, I can understand that. It's not a toilet. Okay. But then we have some confusing signs. Some signs that may not be exactly what we're used to. Genuine fake watches. My keep right. I do like that one. My lovely wife is a doctor, and she did her medical elective where they do training in India. So we had the privilege of going to India, and two signs stand out, which I don't have pictures of. Two signs stand out in my mind. We landed in Delhi, and then we went across to where she was doing her medicine for 3 months, and we went to Agra, which is where the Taj Mahal is. And Agra, all around Agra, were these signs: clean Agra, green Agra. Now, I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's not that clean, and it was not that green. I was very confused, but they all thought it was it made a lot of sense. But the sign that got me the most, which I really loved, which I'm sure was a sign for a chemist, said drug deals this way. I was just hoping that it was a misinterpretation of languages, although there were some interesting events that I could, yeah, I could tell you about. You're more than welcome to come and talk to me about being approached on the street to see if I wanted to buy marijuana or super duper marijuana, as they told me. But these signs, whether they be the ones that we know or these ones that are a little bit more confusing, are actually there to try and direct us. And then we just have odd ones. Now, I hope this morning that that's not the case. Okay? Don't let worries kill you. Let the church help. I hope that isn't the case. You see, what I want to look at this morning is about perhaps one of the greatest signs that we could ever have. And we're going to hear about that. So Roy Noon is kindly going to read the passage to us. And for those of you who are like me, who unfortunately can't understand Burmese, we're going to have it up on the screen.
Tamaro utu akanji ni ange ngama setong. Tukala aka, gongin audu shile tamaro lumultega, piad kingo yudedo yuda lurudi, Yerusalem munai, deni jadadi. Tu atangu jaya ro aka, lumiado di, suwe la jali, atidi achacharo, mimiru barasga pin, tamaro ru hobio digo, jaya yu. My dear Shine Jai, Tulu abound odi, an oming mo, do we let she you? You could hope your road to abound odi, Galile lumu, pijadi maholo. Do holy, narodi, a didi muipoya tana e, baras gamiago jaya diga, aberuni, badi be masayu, medi be, elan be, medo boa, me be. Yura bi, kaba do gu bi, ba no bi, ashi bi, beauty bi, bampuli bi, egudu bi nai nero du. Gule ne mu ne sado, li puchi le nai nero du. Yoma mu ma laro, e de mia. Yura lu mu pisse, bara win pisse. Gale de bi da, ayap bi da. Adidi picharo ngaru a. I du miadi piad ki I apoiro amu dogo ngaru di amu baras kapin hobio jadi gu jaya di daga hu achin chin pio su jai. Tulu abando di ming mo duido say shi jadi ne. I amu ayadi ape du do amu aya pitani hu diao gu diao pio su jai. Lu achu duga. Idu di choros biye ne biwa di hu ke ye pyo su ja yi. Thank you.
And I probably have to apologize because I think I went too early, but that happens when I'm not as gifted as she is and can speak multiple languages. What does this mean? Now, normally at this time, you'll have someone up here, someone like Lyndon, stand up here and proceed to unpack. But that's not what we're going to do at the moment. What I'm going to get you to do is I would love to hear what you think. However, there's quite a few of us, so we don't have enough time for all of us to share. So I'm going to ask you nicely to turn to the person next to you. And from that passage, which many of us know, I want you just to turn to the person and tell them something that stood out to you about that passage. Now, I know, because I've been in that situation when someone stands up the front and asks you to do something, and your first response is, oh no, I don't want to do that. So, just for my sake, pretend. Okay? Just turn to the person next to you. If you just want to say hello, that's fine. But you've only got like 30 seconds to a minute each. So, one idea, something about that passage, what does it mean? About when these people came and heard others speak in a different language, praising God, what does that mean? Turn to the person, and in about 2 minutes, I'm going to interrupt you, and then we'll carry on. So if you can do that now, that would be great. Yep. I will skip through it. Okay, now I get to interrupt. So some of you may be asking, why did we share before the person at the front talks? Some of you may be actually asking, are we actually going to have a sermon? And both of those are good questions. But I'm going to try and answer them with another question. And the question is, what does this mean? See, what would this event, this amazing event, have meant to those people that were there? Because sometimes, like some of those signs, I might not understand them, but those that were present, those that designed them, understood. So although I can understand a bit, I need to understand more and more in depth if I was actually a person there. Now we have the privilege of having perhaps one of the best signs that we could ask for, God's Word, which points and directs us. But one of the advantages and disadvantages of going to like a Bible college is that you learn all this stuff, and you learn all this stuff that you don't know and things that had never crossed your mind. I didn't know what I didn't know. So when I came to this passage, I've read this passage over and over again and heard a number of people preach on it. And yet, to me, there was something that stood out that I hadn't really heard people talk about. I got a little bit confused, a little bit nervous. Really, was this what I was meant to be talking about? What does this mean? That's actually straight out of verse 12. What does this mean? You see, I have three things that I want us to think about today. And I think that those that were there at the time, and for those of us here today, it is still important. And these three simple things are, one, for those people that were there, they were questioning, they were asking, what's going on? What does this mean? Questioning is okay. They didn't know everything. Not knowing everything is okay. Okay? Lyndon doesn't know everything. If you tried to call a pastor that knew everything, you'd be calling Jesus. And sometimes I don't think that what we ask of a pastor, even Jesus fits. Not because he can't, but because we try and set this person up, because we're trying to get answers to things that aren't exactly right. So, questioning is okay, not knowing everything is fine. The third thing, rejecting something because it is not how we expect it to be, or because it's not how God has spoken to us in the past, that's not. So three simple things. If that's all you remember from today, I've done one thing right. Questioning is okay. Not knowing everything is fine. But rejecting something just because it's not how you think God speaks, or God hasn't used that way in the past for you, that's not. Now, how am I going to tie this into the signs and symbols? Well, what I'm going to try and do, this is where I said before, I want to try something a little bit different. Let me try and explain this by taking on the role of an eyewitness. You see, I was a devout Jew. I've been brought up in the ways of the law, and so I know things. My parents, my grandparents, my family has taught me how things should be. And as that, I have traveled in to Israel, in here, for what we now call Pentecost. This festival of the new grain was celebrated 7 weeks, 50 days after the Passover meal. And there were many people. When I was there, there were many of us gathered. Some of those people had come back to live in Israel because it's such an important place. And others had just come to visit and to be at this festival. And I had joined this crowd. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was an amazing event. All these people were around. And yet, there was this noise I heard. And I heard these people praising God in my language. Now, how can that be? Because I knew the accent of the people that were talking. And these people were Galileans. Now, as you may not know, but I do, nothing really good comes from Galilee. They're a little bit hick. So surely they couldn't know my language. And then other Galileans were my friends from different places. They knew their language as well. How could this be? Something was very strange going on here, and I wanted to know more. I didn't know what was happening. You see, I was confused. I had some questions, and I didn't know the answers. A friend of mine, well, he just mocked them. He said, perhaps I've been drinking too much. But it's the morning. I don't understand. What is going on? So, obviously, I've used a little bit of an imagination there to add to it. And if I'm honest for myself, for me today, my question would have been, which group would I have joined? Would I have joined the group that said, God, you are speaking in a way that I didn't expect, and I want to know more? Or would I have said, God doesn't speak that way, and been in the group that was mocking? I'm not sure, if I am honest, which group I would have been in. I wonder what group you would have been in. You see, most of you will know that being a Jew and being a devout Jew, I knew quite a lot because that's what I've been taught. I've been taught these things so I could understand them. And I understood that this Pentecost was an amazing sign. I understood that these signs, including as I came to hear later, that the Holy Spirit came down on with tongues of fire. And fire, for me, I understood, represented the presence of God. I mean, as a Jew, I knew the stories. I knew about Moses, who encountered God in fire in a burning bush. I knew these things. And yet, it was still very confusing. I had not come across God speaking in different languages like this before. And yet he didn't force himself on me. I was just confused. Now, we were there over that day, and Peter, here, one of these Galileans, he got up and he told us things. And he told us that this was the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. I knew about Joel's prophecy. And we'd also heard about John the Baptist. John the Baptist had told us that this person was going to send the Holy Spirit, this person that came after him. But I was not expecting this. You see, over time, this feast that we had come to celebrate had come to represent a number of different things. It had come to represent God's care and love for his people, including what we would call his covenant with us. And yet now it appeared, as I stood there and heard these voices and questioned and was confused, and then later on, as people explained and told me things, I realized that perhaps God was making or reforming that covenant for you and me individually. He still loved us as a people, but the Holy Spirit, God's presence, was with individuals. This was something that, to me, proved and showed that Jesus was who he said he was. I heard later that Jesus had said that when he left, he would send the Spirit, and here the Spirit had come. Had I really been one of the crowd who asked for this man, who now I admit is the Messiah, had I really been one of the crowd that asked for him to be crucified? Because, as you may know, but I didn't know at that time, this message would spread from where we are now to around the world. All that I've done might be some good information for some of you, but really, what does it mean? What's the point of it? You see, a sign's pretty good, but it's of no use unless we actually do what the sign's for. We follow the instructions. If we just get some information, good. But unless we take the advice, nothing will change. Unless we seek the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who is the answer, nothing will change. And here is where it can be difficult. Because sometimes God acts in a way that we don't expect. Let me try and tell you of ways that God has spoken to me in the past. Now, I would love to tell you some miraculous story. But generally, for me, it's normally either an unease about something or it just seems right, and then sometimes everything falls into place. So When we went to Alice Springs the first time, it was really strange. We weren't expecting to go to the middle of nowhere, and that's what you'd call it. Although some people that live in Alice Springs say, you know, it's the centre of the world, equally distant from all Australia's major beaches. You know, it's only 1,500 kilometres north and 1,500 kilometres south, and about 2,500 each way. But things just fell into place. Catherine emailed someone, they emailed back the next day, so on and so forth. I emailed, I think it was 5 schools, and got offered 5 jobs, including an email that said, you know you're not allowed to email the school, you've got to email the department, but just ring the department and tell them I've offered you a job. But I went, well, if I'm going for a year, at that stage I'm going for a year, I'd really like to do something different. I'd like to do something different. So I'd emailed this Indigenous boarding school and they said yes. And so it was, we went there and we had this year, everything went. But it was only a year. We came home, I said, good, that's done, never going back. 3 years later, we're back in Alice Springs. And we had Sienna, and Jonathan was born in April of our first year back. And then when it came time for us to leave and come back, for me to study at Carey, I didn't want to leave. And then I was looking for excuses to stay. Houses, we'd bought a house in Alice Springs. Houses weren't selling. There were no jobs for pediatricians in Auckland. And we had friends of ours who were living in our house. Friends of ours 6 months out said, look, we're really sorry, we have to move. So we got tenants in for 6 months. Friends of ours in Alice Springs said, are you selling your house? And we said, yes. And they said, how much do you want for it? And I said, look, if we can sell it for what we bought it for, we'd be great. And they looked at it and they said, okay. We're like, hang on, what? And they said, okay, you move out on the Friday. When you catch the plane on the Friday, we'll move in. I'm like, oh, no. Oh, God, please. Put a stumbling block in place. Catherine gets a job through a friend of hers at Middlemore when there were no jobs advertised. It was just as if God was saying, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do. And that's generally in my life how God has spoken to me. Just certain things. Not just coincidences, things that are more than coincidences. But every now and again, God speaks in a way that does my head in. A friend of mine, Doug, and I had been leading on a camp. We were coming back from Wellington, and for some reason, my geography is really bad, we'd gone around the back, the western side of Taupo, and we were driving around there, and I was cleaning my windscreen, and I realized it was all blurry and disgusting. I realized, oh no, the water, the windscreen stuff is all cleared up, has all dried up. I've got nothing. And my windscreen was really messy and I was really struggling. We came over this hill and we turned around and I don't know what it was. It was just some big bird, a mower. Okay, a little bit evangelistic, you know. It was some big bird, I don't know, a big seagull or something. I slammed on my brakes and the bird just sort of stopped and then it took off. And I went, if that had been a car or something, I couldn't have stopped in time because the bird actually probably flew before I went. I was like, have you got any water? And he's like, no, I haven't got any water. And I'm like, oh man, I'm going to have to drive like 10 k's an hour. What do I do? We said, well, we've been leading on a camp. We should pray. It's a good thing to do. So, dear Lord, please let it rain so that, which, fair, we're in New Zealand. Come on. Dear Lord, please let it rain so I can clean my windows. So start driving, and start, without a word of a lie, these big, large water drops hit my windscreen. And so I quickly turn on the windscreen wipers. My windscreen's nice and clean, and then I look up, and there's not a cloud in the sky. And I turn to my friend Doug, and he looks at me. Well, I was driving, so I went that way. He looks at me, and he goes, nah, no one will believe us. And we just carry on. But it was this, it was if at that moment God said, I care about you and I can talk how I want. Are you willing to trust me? Really? Really? Just off a windscreen? Really? You care about me? Your presence is with us in this car? How does that work? But those are good stories. My dad passed away 18 months ago. Coming up 2 years ago. And he had been sick for a while. And I prayed that God would miraculously heal him. My family, extended family, basically none of them come to church. None of them are interested. None of them even question. And I have prayed that God would do something miraculous. But at the moment, nothing's happening. I don't get it. I want God to speak. I want him to turn up. I want, in a way, like a new Pentecost for them. But it's not happening. And I'm reminded that God has already spoken and he continues to speak. It's just for my family, for some of my family, they are like the Jews that said this, nah, and they mock. Whereas for some reason, God put in me a question. What does this mean? What does our lives mean? What do I mean for you? And I don't know why those of us that have believed were given that privilege of questioning and of being able to accept not knowing the answers. You know, I wish that I could change a number of things, and I wish that I knew more answers than I do. But I know these things. I know that I'm getting to know him more and more, and believe me when I say this. No matter if it's easy or hard, in the good times and the bad times, it's still amazing. You know, asking questions is okay. Not knowing all the answers is fine. But rejecting God because it's not how we think he should act, or because he has never acted like that in our lives before, that's not. And God is not just a sign. The Holy Spirit is not just a sign. He is present. He is more than a sign. He is God. And when we get that, things can change. Can I finish with this? Are you willing to join me and let God speak how he wants? Are you willing to join me in seeking to listen and to follow him?